When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The upside-down girl. When home turns horrific, the darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we turn our gaze to a place that, on the surface, epitomizes suburban tranquility. Billings, Montana. The year is 1993, a city of quiet neighborhoods, tree-lined streets, and the comforting rhythm of family life. It's a place where peace of mind should reign supreme, where homes are sanctuaries. But sometimes, dear listeners, the most profound and terrifying horrors don't lurk in the shadows outside, but manifest in the most intimate, unsuspecting places. Within the very walls we call safe, and within the minds we believe we know. Our story centers on the Thompson family, a seemingly idyllic unit. Mark and Emily Thompson were doting parents to their spirited 6-year-old daughter, Lily. Lily was a bright, imaginative child, perhaps a little more withdrawn than some, but adored by her parents. On the evening of October 23rd, 1993, the Thompsons had plans for a rare night out, and they had arranged for their trusted neighborhood babysitter, Sarah Jenkins, to look after Lily. Sarah was a popular high school student, mature for her age, with a reputation for responsibility and a warm, friendly demeanor. She was a familiar face to Lily, and the evening began with the usual routine of ordering pizza, settling down for a movie, and preparing for Lily's bedtime. The last call Mark and Emily received from Sarah was around 8:30 p.m., a cheerful confirmation that Lily was asleep and everything was quiet. They relaxed into their evening, unaware that their lives and the very concept of reality were about to be shattered beyond repair. They returned home shortly after midnight, the cool autumn air crisp and silent. As Mark fumbled with his keys, a sense of unease, faint but palpable, pricked at him. The lights were on inside, but an unnatural quiet permeated the house. Upon entering, the world tilted. The living room, typically a space of comfort and familiarity, was a scene of unbelievable chaos and unspeakable horror. The first thing Mark saw was the furniture. Every single piece. The heavy oak coffee table, the plush armchair, the large ornate sofa, even a delicate floor lamp, had been flipped upside down. Not haphazardly tossed, but methodically, impossibly overturned, resting on their tops, their legs pointing accusingly towards the ceiling. It looked like the aftermath of an impossible, violent poltergeist. And amidst this surreal, inverted landscape lay Sarah Jenkins. Sarah was dismembered. Her body had been torn apart with a savage, precise violence that defies description. Limbs separated from torso, scattered amidst the overturned furniture. There was no sign of a struggle that would explain such a powerful, destructive act. No obvious weapon, just the horrifying evidence of an unimaginable force. Emily's scream tore through the silence, raw and guttural. Mark, fighting down a wave of nausea and disorienting shock, stumbled forward, his mind reeling. This was not human. This was not possible. Then, a small, quiet sound cut through the horror. From the doorway to the kitchen, where she had evidently been standing, emerged 6-year-old Lily. She was unharmed. Not a scratch. Her pajamas were neat, her hair unruffled. Her eyes, however, held a distant, almost serene quality, devoid of the terror that should have gripped any child witnessing such a nightmare. She simply stood there, observing her parents' horror, her gaze oddly tranquil. The Billings Police Department arrived quickly, the flashing blue and red lights painting the ordinary suburban street with an unnatural, urgent glow. The scene inside the Thompson home confounded even the most seasoned officers. The sheer brutality of Sarah's death was shocking, but the details defied every conventional explanation. There was no sign of forced entry. The doors and windows were all locked from the inside. There were no foreign fingerprints, no obvious weapon that could inflict such damage, no blood spatters beyond the immediate area of the body. It was as if the horror had erupted from within the house itself, originating from no discernible source. And then came Lily's testimony. Taken to the station, questioned gently by a child psychologist, Lily recounted her version of the night's events with a chilling detachment. She spoke of Sarah putting her to bed, of hearing strange noises later, and then she spoke of her other self. Lily described her other self as a friend, a secret companion who would visit her sometimes when she was alone. But this night, her other self had been different, bigger, angry. And then, the most chilling detail. Lily claimed that her other self had walked on the ceiling. She described watching this inverted figure move effortlessly across the plaster, looking down at her, sometimes whispering secrets. Secrets that, Lily explained, weren't very nice. She described the furniture being flipped by this other self, and then a loud noise, and Sarah being broken. Her face remained impassive, as if recounting a dream. The police were, predictably, at a complete loss. The child psychologist initially suggested trauma-induced dissociation or a fantastical coping mechanism. But Lily's consistent, unwavering account, coupled with the impossible physical evidence of the flipped furniture and the lack of forced entry, chipped away at logical explanations. Detective Miller, the lead investigator, a man known for his unflappable demeanor, became increasingly haunted by the case. He dismissed the other self and ceiling walking as a child's fevered imagination, but he couldn't dismiss the dismembered babysitter or the overturned furniture that no human could have managed, especially without leaving a trace. He spent months on the case, poring over every detail, every theory, until, without explanation, he requested a transfer to a desk job, his spirit seemingly broken by the enigma he faced. The Thompson family, shattered by the horrific event, never fully recovered. Lily, despite years of therapy, remained an enigma, her quiet demeanor occasionally punctuated by unsettling comments about things only she could see or secrets only her other self knew. The house, of course, was sold, sitting empty for years, a dark monument to the unexplained. Locals whispered about the upside-down girl, a chilling moniker that captured the terrifying essence of the night, the flipped world, the inverted horror, the child who saw what no one else could or would. What was this other self, dear listeners? Was it a malevolent entity? A demonic possession that used the innocent vessel of a child to manifest a horrifying reality? Was it a suppressed, violent alter ego? A nascent evil taking root in a young mind, unleashed by unseen triggers? Or was it something else entirely? A manifestation of the house itself? A spirit of the home gone terribly, grotesquely wrong, capable of defying gravity and inflicting unspeakable violence? The dismemberment of the babysitter, while the child remained unharmed, implies a chilling selectivity, a targeted act of terror perhaps even a perverted protection or a grim demonstration of power. The case of the upside-down girl remains unsolved, a chilling testament to the fragility of our understanding of reality and the profound, terrifying depths that can lurk within the most ordinary of settings. In the quiet suburban streets of Billings, Montana, the memory of that night whispers, a horrifying reminder that sometimes the true monsters aren't outside the door, but are already within, walking where no one should, and sharing secrets that should never be heard. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night. Thank you.